Good morning. Welcome to Eagles White Church. We're so glad you're here on this beautiful Sunday. Had a weekend full of baseball yesterday, and I still get giddy when baseball starts. It's like I'm a kid inside, and I start pacing around. Bryce, my son, playing, and I'm just pacing back and forth. And I love baseball, but I love this church too. And we got some great worship songs for you this morning. And, you know, it makes me all giddy and happy inside when we do these songs. So let's stand and let's worship. And Dusty, let's go.
Let's go.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day, the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run things you know that just ain't right. Well, there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. To testify, if you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
He's a good, good God. Thank you that you're good. Thank you that you're good, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you. The king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh,
God, that you are good. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you always watch over every promise to perform it. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you lavish us with grace when we need it. And even when we don't think we're going to be able to go through that thing, Father, your grace is always more than enough. We are thankful, God, for the gifts that you've given us, that you've placed within us, for the people that you've placed around us to hold us, to rejoice with us when things are great, to weep with us when things are hard, Father. You are so gracious. You are so good. And we are so thankful, God. We are so thankful. Thank you.
travel me with a melody. You surround me with song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer chosen me. Love has I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God.
Father, thank you. Thank you that we are a child of you, God. Thank you that when that fear creeps up in our brain, Father, thank you that you are there, God. You are there to make it go away because we trust in you. We love you. And we thank you for all that you do in our lives, God. I pray for each and every person here, Father. I pray for each and every person. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Aren't you glad you're a child of God? Yeah, me too. I used to be a child of something else. It wasn't too good. I liked being a child of God. I always was, just didn't know it. I always was a child of God, just didn't know it. We're going to get into that a little bit this morning about kingdom principles. Say kingdom principles. I don't know where I'm going this morning exactly with all of this, so I'm just going to take my time and follow the Spirit. Is that okay? If I finish, I finish. If I don't, I don't, right? If you finish before I do, well, don't go anywhere. Let me catch up with you. In the early 80s, I guess it was about 1982, 83. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma at a huge conference. Back during that time, there were conferences all over the United States. I mean, just conference after conference after conference. And they were all good. They were all establishing some different things in the kingdom. And I happened to be in Tulsa on this one, and the Lord spoke to me and he said this, and I didn't really know even what it was. He said, I want you to go home and I want you to preach the kingdom of God. That whole conference, all I kept hearing was that term, kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. And he said, I want you to go home and preach the rest of your life on the kingdom of God. And he said, if you'll preach the kingdom, I'll build the church. And I thought, that sounds scriptural. And then I remembered Peter's situation with Jesus. Who do men say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. Now I want to say this in another way. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Spirit of the living God revealed this to you. You got to understand something. They were with him for 3.5 years and did not really realize who he was. They hadn't really seen what he's about. And Jesus said, upon this rock, the revelation of the Spirit of who I am, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he said to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys, say the keys, to the kingdom of God. Wow. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whomsoever sins you remit, they're remitted in heaven. Wow. All of a sudden, years ago, this kingdom thing started opening up to me. And Janice Moore, who is a very precious lady who sang on our praise team for years and years, she would tell me every time I preached on the kingdom, every time. She would make a beeline to me in the foyer, and she'd come up to me, and she'd say, Pastor Buren, you were born to preach the kingdom. And that has always resonated with me, and every now and then I have to come back to that and go, you were born to preach the kingdom. Now, the kingdom and the church are not the same. The church is the gathering of people. The church is a family of God, a body of believers. The church is an instrument of the kingdom, but the church isn't the kingdom. Kingdom's a lot bigger than the church. See, the kingdom's out there. The church is in here right now. The kingdom is out there. See, the kingdom's out there. I remember the story, Michael, you told when y'all got back from Japan from the tour, and Adam left his billfold in the car, in the taxi, and the taxi started going off, and Adam realized he'd left his billfold in there, and he takes off after the cab, and I guess he run it down, right, and stopped, and the cab driver looked at Adam and said, you know, nobody would have taken that billfold. Nobody would have taken. Why? I'll tell you why. The kingdom of God is bigger than the church. There are the principles that they live by. They're the kingdom. Kingdom principles work for anybody and everybody. You don't have to be saved, and the principles still work. Say, kingdom principles work. But you got to work them. You got to work them. You see, principles, and just keep your ear tuned in, okay? Don't wander off from me this morning. Can you do that? I got a total different congregation here this morning than I had last week. Totally different. I'm looking out here and say, where did y'all come from? You know, I saw some of you last week, but there's a whole new crowd here this morning, so you're going to get some of the stuff we did last week. Is that all right? Because none of you didn't watch it. So, I'm going to be very deliberate. Principles, to me, are more important than commandments. Now, that sounds big, but let me tell you why. Because commandments keep you from having something bad happen to you. There are consequences of commandment. If you break a commandment, good stuff doesn't come out of that. Nothing good comes out of breaking commandments. But all kind of good comes out of working principles. Working principles bring good to you. Breaking commandments brings bad to you. I know people, I've done it all my life, when you just live your life trying to obey the commandments, I assure you, along the way, you're going to miserably fail. I've known very, very, very good people who broke commandments because they weren't working principles in their life, because had they been working principles in their life, they would not have broken the commandment, right? Jesus said, the commandment says, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say the principle. Don't even look at a woman and lust after her in your heart, because if you do, you've already committed adultery. That's a principle, right? That's a principle. And if you keep that principle, you'll keep the commandment. But if you don't keep the principle, there's a good chance you'll break the commandment. Proverbs said, here's a principle. Don't go down the road. Don't go down that road. Because if you do, you're going to get burned. But if you don't keep the principle and stay away from the road, but if you go down the road, you'll break the commandment. All right, I'm preaching good now. I got you rolling with me. So the other day, we got to get back to the place where we love principles more than we love anything. We love kingdom principles more than we love steak. We love kingdom principles more than we love money. We love kingdom principles more than we love anything else, because they are everything. Say everything. 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 The other day, the kids are getting books for the summer to read, and Jed had picked his books out, and Dusty said, Jed, you can't read that book. And he said, why? He said, with that book, the devil is, they portray the devil as a good person. And Chet said, who's the devil? And Anna said, Satan. Who's Satan? Anna said, now, my first impression, I'm kind of glad about that because we don't preach a devil mentality in our, no, we just talk about God. We talk about good stuff, and we just, the devil's just not a topic. And so Jed don't even know who he is. And so Anna said, in the garden, you know, when Adam and Eve, and that, and of course she used the serpent in the tree, the snake in the tree thing. Well, that was enough. Remember the snake in the tree? And Jed said, yes, and that's the devil. And he said, I don't want anything to do with that book. Man, if we could all just adopt those kind of principles, that's the kind of principles you're really supposed to have. Hello. The Bible says flee. Joseph ran away from Potiphar's wife. He ran away. He didn't stay and listen to the conversation. He fled for his life. How many know there's a, we need to sometimes flee for our life. There's a such thing as fleeing. My dad used to tell a story, and a guy was hiring these stagecoach drivers to go down this treacherous mountain. And he interviewed two guys, and the first guy said, well, what's your resume, you know? How can you drive this stagecoach? He said, oh, I'm great. He said, I can take this stagecoach down this mountain. I can put half the wheel off the side of the cliff, and I'll still get it all the way down. The other guy, he said, what about you? He says, I can't drive anything like that. He said, I will stay as far away from the edge of the cliff as I can. And he said, you got the job. How many know we live too close to the edge? Sometimes we live a little too close to the edge. Principles are fundamental truths that serve as the foundation. Listen. For a system of belief or behavior or a chain of reasoning. It's everything. They're the foundation of a system of belief. It is the behavior for a chain of reasoning. A principle, P-L-E, has to become a principle, P-A-L. It's the first in order of importance. Let me tell you some things about the kingdom. Number one, the kingdom's never ending. Say never ending. In Isaiah chapter 9, let's read these verses of scripture. One of my favorite. I've loved it for years and years. Child is born to us, a son is given. Has a whole lot in that two phrases. He's no longer a child in a manger. How many know that? He grew up. A son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. Don't you love that? Never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will cause that to happen. I like a better translation, the zeal of the Lord. How many are glad that it's not going to be my zeal that gets it done, but his? Have you ever been burned out? Anybody? You ever been burned out? A couple of times in my life, one in particular, I really remember. And here's the thing about being burned out. You don't know you're burned out. You don't know it. It sneaks up on you. It's like, all of a sudden, you know, you just physically go, I'm just drained, you know. It's that way emotionally sometimes. We finally get to the place, we're just burned out. I believe Moses was burned out when he kept looking at that bush burning. And I believe when Moses kept looking at the bush burning, Moses goes, you know, why has nobody ever gone up and investigated this thing and see why that bush never stops burning? It wasn't anything in the desert for a bramble bush just to ignite and fire. That happened all the time. You could look out across the desert and any time you may see a bush just ignite and be burning. But it always burned out. But here's this bush that's aflame with God and it doesn't burn out. And Moses goes to investigate why it doesn't burn out. I believe he's going, how can that bush have this kind of energy continually and it never burn out? Because Moses was burnt out. Because he got to the right bush and got to the right fire, Moses got lit up. And Moses got lit up. All sorts of good things started to happen because the fire that was in the bush became the fire that was in his heart. Come on, help me with this. The fire that was in the bush became the fire that was in his heart. And that's what happened. You've got to understand the kingdom is that way. The kingdom comes in power. How many want to see the power of God in the earth? You know, Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come to you. Here's some things about the kingdom. You can't define the kingdom. Now, 30 years ago, I could do it. That's funny, isn't it? I thought I could do it. 30 years ago, I thought I could define the kingdom of God to you, and I tried. You know what I found out over the years? The more that I know lets me know the more that I don't know. I know less now than I did because back then I thought I knew it all. Now there's so much I don't know. There's a constant revealing of God that's going on. And I'm telling you something, it takes the Spirit of God to reveal it, to establish it, to keep it going. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. The Spirit of God revealed that to you. Paul said, when I got this revelation of Jesus, I did not go into Jerusalem. I went into Arabia, and for 3.5 years, he spent time with the fire burning in his heart and burning in his soul before he ever said anything about grace, before he said anything about mercy, before he wrote any epistle, any letter. He spent time with God until the fire of God burned in him so much that the kingdom of God would be lived out through him. I love the Spirit of God. There's nothing like it. John chapter 3. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. And after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. He's seeing the miracles. He's seeing some evidence that he's not like everybody else. He sees there's something so unique, so awesome. But I'll tell you what he wasn't seeing. Can I jump ahead for a moment? He wasn't seeing the kingdom. He was seeing Jesus. But he wasn't seeing the king of the kingdom. Now listen. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. There is a natural birth. The water breaks. The child is born. Natural birth. You got to be born of water, but also you got to be born of spirit. Nicodemus takes that to think that, well, that means I've got to have a second rebirthing. No, you got to have a different rebirthing. This birthing is of the flesh. This other birthing is of the spirit. And what happens is you realize when you're born again, the Spirit of God's awakened in you. You begin to realize who you really are, where you really came from. And then the Spirit becomes the most important thing in your life. More important than your flesh, more important than your body. And so what you start nurturing, you know, as a baby, you can look at that baby, you can hold that baby, and then you begin to train that baby, right? Yep. Start training that baby. And you train that baby all the days of its life. You train that baby how to eat, train that baby how to walk, train that baby how to talk. In reality, though, that baby's just mimicking everything you're doing. That's all that's going on. You think you're training the child. Child's being trained by watching you. They're mimicking what you're doing. Right? Say this, da da da, da da da. If you talk to them in another way, they may say it in a more intelligent way. Sometimes the babies probably look at you and go, why do you talk like that? Don't you talk normally? Y'all don't talk to each other like that. I'll never learn to talk listening to you talk to me. Anyway. But there's a spirit in that baby. And that spirit has got to get as much or more attention than that physical training gets. That baby needs to be trained. We do it now, thank God. We talk to them in the womb. We bless them in the womb. We sing to them in the womb. We pray for them in the womb. Thank God for that. But you can't stop once they get here. You got to keep speaking it over them. You got to keep praying over them. You got to keep nurturing that spirit in them and letting them know who they really, really are. It's important. I was thinking about my dad a whole lot lately. I know I told a lot of stories about Daddy last week and how that I was 12 years old and Daddy got me a job. It was child abuse today, but back then, he got me a job delivering newspapers, and I'd get sick, car sick, and I tried to quit, and I came home and told Daddy, I said, I get so car sick. He said, Mr. Boyd won't pull over and let you throw up? I said, yeah, he does. I have to get out. He said, well, that's fine. You throw up, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, get back in the car, and you're okay? I said, yeah. He said, you're fine. I mean, and I told you, and I got $4 for all day long in that car, delivering newspapers, going up to a door and collecting, getting bit by dogs, $4 a day. And I come home and I said, I got $4. Daddy said, no, you got $3.60. I said, why? He said, well, 40 cents of it goes to God. I said, what? He said, 40 cents of it goes to the Lord. I said, it's a tie. Daddy, come on. And he said, well, and then I told you last, Daddy, I realize now how lenient my father was. I thought he was tough, but he was one of the most lenient daddies. Very lenient. He looked at me and he said, do what's in your heart. Do what's in your heart to do. Well, that changed the whole thing. Now I'm responsible with God, what's in my heart. At 12 years old, I realized me and God's got a heart issue going on. God looks at the heart. He knows exactly what I'm thinking, exactly what I'm feeling. And you say, well, 40 cents is no big deal. 4 RCs and 4 moon pies back then. That was a lot to a 12-year-old boy. That 40 cents meant everything. But I am so thankful and grateful. My daddy started putting principles in me at 12 years of age, and he taught me principles all the days of my life. I'm so grateful for that. I wouldn't take anything for that. When I was little, we went to church on Sunday morning, come back to church on Sunday evening at 7:30, not 6, 5, 7:30, and didn't get out till 10:30. Don't get scared. I wouldn't dare try to get you here at 7:30 on Sunday night. I'd be here all alone waiting forever and ever for you to get here. I know that. I'm not an idiot. I'm just giving you some principles. Wednesday night, 7:30. All of my childhood, he was training my spirit. And it never, ever, ever, ever left me. It was always there. I never could get away from it, David. I never got away from it. I thought I was lost for years. I wasn't lost. I couldn't get lost. I belonged to God. Belonged to Him since I was a baby. They dedicated me when I was a baby. I didn't have any choice. That ain't right. But they gave me to God when I was a baby, and they raised me. They raised me, and they put this in. They nurtured. And let me tell you something. It may appear they're wander away from. It may appear they've gone over here. They're not. Can't get away from God. If you ascend into heaven, I'm there. If you go into the depths of hell, I'm there. You can't get away. They may look like they're away. I assure you, they're not away. They're not away. I didn't get saved, Barbara and I, in 1973. I got reclaimed. I just got reclaimed. I just got awakened back to who I really am. In fact, I'm so glad. So glad. Then Barbara and I decided we're gonna build our life on two things. And one was we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that we want in our marriage and our life will be added to us. I thought that was a pretty good deal. Isn't that a good deal? Because I didn't make it. I didn't make no money. I mean, we were poor. I'm talking really poor. Barbara and I were poor. Had it not been for Daddy, we wouldn't have eaten a lot of times. But we said we're going to build our marriage, our life, on that scripture. That the kingdom of God is going to be first and foremost in our life. And second of all, 10% belongs to the Lord. Minimum. We do more than that now, but we started with that. 10% is yours, God. I'm so thankful that my life is where it is today because of the kingdom of God. Because of the kingdom of, not the church. Thank God for the church. I love the church. I love the kingdom more than I love the church. I love the church, but I love the kingdom more. Because the kingdom is what, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Wow. Isn't that great? It's right standing with God, right standing with man. It's peace and it's joy. How many know if you could sell joy and peace, the pharmacy couldn't keep it? But they're selling stuff to try to give you joy and peace, but it's not giving joy and peace. Only the kingdom of God that's in you can bring you true joy and peace. You can't define it. Jesus didn't even define the kingdom? He said, let me tell you what it's like. This is what it's like. It's like this, it's like this, it's like this, or it's like that, because the kingdom is so expanding. Oh, God help me. If you see the kingdom, you're born of the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. You're awakened to who you really are. If you enter the kingdom, that's the decision you make. You ready? Just because you see it doesn't mean you enter it. I've seen people over the years see the kingdom and never go in. It takes a decision to go in. I saw it. Then I had to make a decision. Am I going to go through the door of it? If you're born of the Spirit, you'll see it. You'll see it. If you make the decision to go in, it gets bigger. How many know? First time Barbara and I went to Aruba, I got a video on Aruba. I love the Caribbean. And I got a video on Aruba, and I saw it. And the more I saw it, but that wasn't enough. That was tantalizing me. That was just getting me all worked up. But I got on a plane, and I flew there, and I entered it. Oh, and when I entered it, oh, it was so much more than what I was seeing on that video. Ah, and then I just inherited everything that was there. You see it, you enter it, you prevail, and you'll inherit it. It was so good there that me and Barbara and Dusty, as our first really vacation probably ever alone, that first time to Aruba, and it was the night before we were coming home, and I said, I don't want to go home. And Dusty said, I don't want to go home either. And we looked at Barbara, she's flying for American Airlines, said, you think you can get us on a flight tomorrow? The next day, rather, she said, I'll see, and she did. Anyway, it was, I don't know what that was all about, but it was fun. I mean, a lot to have fun. Yeah, church is fun, kingdom's fun. I'd say it's fun. The lost prodigal son came home and had a party. I mean, you know God loves to party. Aren't you glad God loves to party? And you know, God does not only likes to party. Do you know God's smart? You know, I say that with a little tongue-in-cheek, but the reality of it is a lot of people think he's good, but they don't think he's that smart. Because if you thought he was that smart, you would do what he says. If you really thought he was that smart, and these principles, if you really thought these principles work, how many know you're going to work them? We got a vacuum cleaner in our house. And that thing sits in the closet, and it never vacuums. Until somebody grabs it and works the principle. And starts. And it's amazing, it works when you work it. But you got to work it. Jesus came and did not teach the law. He taught principles. Principle after principle after principle after principle. But the principle has got to become the most principal thing in your life. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get understanding. Amen? How many got a doctor? Anybody got a doctor? You ever go to a doctor? You know how many dodos out there that go to doctors and the doctor says, go do this, and you know what they do? They don't do it. Well, they must not think their doctor is very smart. I mean, they undoubtedly they don't think their doctor is very smart. Well, if you do this and this, it'll work. But you got to do. How many know you got to do this and this? I got my cholesterol checked back this week and said on the same thing, exercise. And I keep going by that track and I'm going, that track never pulls me in. I look at it, I see it, but I don't enter it. But I see it. It's there. It hadn't moved. I see it almost every day. There's the track. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I see you. I see you. And I'm going to enter you. And when I do, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to inherit some good stuff going to come out of it. Because I'll prevail. Okay. Jesus started to say on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed, to be envied, to be prosperous, to be happy, are those who work principles. Those who work principles. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who realize they so need God. Blessed are those who realize that they can't get through life without a higher power working in them. Blessed are the poor that realize their dependence upon the Creator of the universe. Wow. I got a text this week, and I get, thank God, most all things I get's good. I'm glad they didn't have texting when I first started pastoring. Whoa, I'm so happy. I could just imagine the text I would have gotten 35 years ago. It wouldn't have been good. Believe me, they would not have been good. I can imagine what they would have been. I got a text and said, you need to start asking God for the big stuff. Start asking God for the big stuff. And I just answered right back, thank you. Because my beginning of this year, my word was believe, believe, believe. Believe God for the big stuff. He's powerful, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's smart. He's smart. I know that sounds so ridiculous, but I'm telling you, I've been telling myself for the last 2 weeks, God is not only good, he is smart. He created 150 billion galaxies. I don't know who counted them, but they say they're out there. And he didn't get his hands dirty doing it. He just spoke it into existence. He said, if you realize how much you need me, the kingdom of heaven's yours. And you get up every day and know, I can't make it through this day without you. I need you, God. I need you. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Every principle, there's a promise. Every principle, there's a promise. How many of you know people want the promises of God? Who doesn't want the promises? Well, every promise that you read, I promise you, there's a principle behind it. There's a principle. Whatsoever you sow, you reap. That's wow. I guess that would mean watch what you sow. Right? Because if I do it, I'm reaping it. It doesn't matter. I told you about my gardening years ago, and I don't do that anymore. But I planted a garden, and you know what I found out? Everything I planted grew. What seed I sowed, that's what came up. I didn't plant a tomato plant and get bananas. Got a tomato. I got cucumbers, because they were cucumber seeds put in the ground. I finally got radishes when I realized where they were. I told Daddy, I said, this garden's so pretty, and I got all these vegetables. I said, I ain't got any radishes. And Daddy comes up to the house and digs into the ground, pulls out a radish big as an apple. I mean, he said, they're in the ground, beer, and you got to dig them out. But one thing I did learn about the garden experience is that once I put it in the ground, it was up to God. It was up to the rain. The sun, it's up to God. Really, it's up to God. I could have gone out there every day and dug up that seed and disturbed that seed, and it would have never, ever grown. And I realized, I love my age. I love that I'm so much smarter pastoring than I used to be. I still don't know a lot of stuff. There's more I don't know than I know, and I realize that. But I thank God I don't try to make people behave anymore. I don't try to make the seed grow that's in that life. You can't do that. You can't do that. Jesus didn't say, sow the seed and then go check on it. Matter of fact, you know what he said? He said, I want you to throw seed where you think it may not ever come up. I want you to take that seed and just scatter it everywhere. Hard pan, hard soil, throw it out there. Throw it out there. Because just maybe, it'll take root. And sure enough, he said, it will, and some won't. And some will take root, but some will abort it. Some things, people are going to let this, that, and another keep it from them and take it from them. But But there are going to be those who hear it, receive it, and apply it. And the principles work in their life. And when the storms of life come, and they will, and when the torrent rains beat on that house, it's not going to fall because it's built on a principle of God. And it will stand. It will stand. I want you to stand. I love the kingdom. It's so much bigger than the church. I love the church. I really do. I love the church. I love the local expression. I love, it's an instrument of the kingdom, and I love everything about it. But I love the kingdom more. Because the kingdom is what God wants established in the earth. The kingdom of God. The kingdom is just the king's domain. It's where the king rules. That's what the kingdom is. The king's domain. The king's kingdom. Aren't you glad we got a king? King Jesus. He's faithful. He's true. We got to avail ourselves to the power that's available to us. And I am believing that if we will get power conscious, power conscious, because the Bible says the kingdom of God comes with power. It said that Jesus went about preaching, listen, the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of diseases. Why? Because he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He says, if you see these things happening, the kingdom has come to you. The kingdom has come to you. It's more important than your bank account. It's more important in your relationship, because the kingdom is what will cause everything in life to work out. Everything. I was telling a young lady this morning, so relationships mean more than anything in life. There's not anything in life more important than relationships. Nothing. Nothing. And that's why it's fought against so much. There's two kingdoms. They're simultaneously functioning in this earth right now. One day there's going to be one. Right now there's two. It's the kingdom of God, and there's a kingdom of evil. There's a kingdom of light, and there's a kingdom of darkness. Both these kingdoms function the same way. They function with principles. They function with thoughts. They function with ideas, speculations. And you have to determine and decide, which one am I going to listen to? When John said, love not this world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Now he says the world, he's not saying the earth. The earth is not going to pass away. But the world's systems are going to pass away. The world ideologies, the world's thoughts, and they're going to pass away. But he that does the will of God, it's going to abide forever. And you're going to hear it from other people, these other principles. And they're going to tell you they work. And if it's not coming from the kingdom of God, they do work. But they work for your bad. They're not for your good. They work. Oh yeah, they work. But not for good. They work for evil. And see this devil that Jet said, I won't have anything to do with. all it represented to him was evil. And he wants nothing to do with evil. And we have got to get to the place where we don't want anything to do with evil thoughts, judgmental thoughts, critical thoughts, cynicism. We don't want that in our heart. And we're going to get it out the moment it comes. We're going to get it out because it won't work for our good. Amen? It means every, it is simple. Say this and we'll have communion. You know, in Song of Solomon, it said the little foxes spoil the vine. Well, those are bad stuff. Little foxes spoil the vine. It's the little things we don't do in life that spoil it too. It's not the evil things creeping up. It's the simple things. You know, it's not the big stuff that destroys marriage. It's that big stuff. People handle big things. They handle that like that. But the little things over and just keeps gnawing at you and gnawing at you and gnawing at you and gnawing, and you don't deal with it and you don't handle it and you don't get it right, that's what hurts. And that's why when we take communion, we're remembering another kingdom that's greater than this other kingdom. And that's the kingdom I want to live by. I want to live by that kingdom. So elders are coming down, stationing themselves. And say, I want the good stuff. I want the good stuff in my life. Don't give up. What you may not be seeing, don't give up. Through faith and patience, you inherit the promises. You keep on going. They work. You may not see it working right now, but it's going to work. If you just go to your left and come around and get your elements and go back to your seat. Restaurants, but we're going to beat them anyway. Are you getting this? Getting this? Principles that important. Without them, You know, try to do something out of a commandment. The things we do out of a commandment, they won't last. You're doing it out of duty, and it's not going to last. If you do it out of love and commitment, that's what matters. That's what works. And God's not asking you to perform for Him. He's not a God that says, perform for me. No. He just says, here's some tools. Work this in your life and see all this good stuff come about. Aren't you glad He's that way? Oh, come on down. You can. Revelation of it all came from this week. I don't have anything to do with that spirit. Anything to do with that. Nothing. That Chad man. I was asked this past week, asked the question. I said, I remember you saying something about it. I said, but why do we take the communion juice and why do we pour it in the ground? Why do we take it outside and pour it in the ground and not just pour it down the sink or something? They said, I know there's a reason for that. And I said, because Jesus shed His blood on the cross. The blood went into the ground. Because it's for the whole earth. And it's representing that we're not wasting this. It's going back in the ground. The blood went into the ground. The night He was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it and said, this is my new covenant. This is my body. It's broken for you. So this is my blood of the new covenant shed for you. Always remember, I'm not seeking you to perform for me. I'm seeking to perform for you and in you and through you.
Ushers will be receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. Yes, you can be seated for just a minute. This Wednesday, everybody say, this Wednesday is First Wednesday. Oh, you missed that part. This Wednesday is First Wednesday. We want you here, 6:30 for worship. Come testify. How many have had some great things God's been doing in your life? See your hands. Look at those hands. Turn around. Look at those hands. Some great things God's been doing in your life. We're going to testify this Wednesday night. We're going to be encouraged. I want you to be here. Classes for all the kids. Come on out. I know it's summertime and it's hot, but it's good stuff. Good stuff. We want you here with us. We want to hear the goodness of God, what's working in your life, what God is doing, because that's what encourages us. It's what motivates us. Father, Lord, I thank You that we get to come to church, to bring our tithes, our offerings, our alms. Lord, to share our gifts, our talents, to give times of encouragement of what You're doing. I thank You for that. Lord, I ask You to bless Father Lord Eagles Way Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You better pick those up, and God bless you. You have a wonderful week.